And welcome into You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out VeritasMedical.com for archive shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's VeritasMedical.com. Let me say good morning once again to Dr. Ben Edwards. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good, Wade. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Doing okay. Can't complain.
Great. All right, we're going to jump right into this. We've got a repeat guest today. Dr. Brian Artis is with us. Last time Dr. Artis was here, September 20th of 21. Can't believe it's been 2 years already. This thing just keeps flying by. We're going to jump into a topic today that's going to disturb some of you, but hopefully not too many of you. If you've been listening to this show for a while, you've come to understand that just about everything we've been taught growing up has turned out to be either a half-truth, three-quarters truth, or 100% lie. So a lot of people waking up to lots of things, and it's good. We need to wake up. Reminds me of that verse in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. I've been hearing this verse a lot lately, like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us wake up and be sober. So I'm assuming if you're listening to this show, you have woken up or in the process of waking up, and there's more to wake up to. Hosea 4, I think it's 6, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. We've heard that verse quoted a lot in the last couple of years. But the very next line is, because they rejected knowledge. So I invite you today to open your minds and your hearts to what we're going to talk about, some hard truths. And what I love about Dr. Brian Artis, number one, he loves God. So he's got a filter on his brain called the Holy Spirit, that he looks at the world from a heavenly viewpoint, spiritual viewpoint, as the word tells us to, not just have a carnal mind. But God's also given him a practical, logical mind, where he comes up with questions, and then he just goes and looks for that answer to that real logical question. So we're going to walk through some of that today. So when we had Dr. Artis on the show last time, he was mainly here to educate us 2 years ago on remdesivir and the toxic nature of that drug. And if you recall from that show last time, he talked about his father-in-law had passed away in the hospital secondary to side effects of a hospital protocol. This was pre-COVID. But it had Dr. Artis kind of tuned in and alert to the fact that some of these drugs in these hospital protocols could have massive side effects like kidney failure, and you could die from the drugs. Anyways, that was the last show, again, September of 21. You can go back on our archive page, veritasmedical.com. Under the resource tab, you can see the podcast archive page and go listen to that. We're going to jump into the latest, though, that Dr. Artis has been diving into with the goal of bringing truth and knowledge to folks so you can go steward your health well. I want to treat every single patient like it was my own mom or dad or my wife. And I know that's how Dr. Artis treats patients too, out of compassion and love for the truth and love for his fellow brothers and sisters. All right, Dr. Artis, thank you for joining us today. Welcome to the show.
It's great to be back, Dr. Ben Edwards, and I can't believe it's been 2 years, actually. It's been over 2 years. That's amazing.
Yeah, time flies. You're welcome to jump in and comment on any of that, but I was going to go straight to we have a mutual friend, Dr. Richard Bartlett, out here in West Texas, and Dr. Bartlett and I have spoken a lot over the last 2 years. He's been on the show some also, but I was thinking maybe we'd start there. Dr. Bartlett sent you a text, because what got me so interested, I read this study. This was from January of 23, and Dr. Art is probably going to comment on this later, but this study from January of 23 talked about patients with post-COVID symptoms, long haulers, COVID, whatever you want to call it, 21 different symptoms after COVID infection that wouldn't go away. And in this study, every single symptom, 100% of the symptoms went away after 6 days of treatment with one thing, and it was nicotine. In this study, they gave these patients with long-haul COVID nicotine, and it resolved all the symptoms. Dr. Artis was recently interviewed on a documentary called The Antidote. I recommend you go watch that. But that stirred this up in me to get Dr. Artis back on the show to bring some awareness of this research that's been out there actually since early of 2020. A lot of this research pointing to snake venoms. I know that sounds crazy, but we're going to jump into this and logically walk through the progression of how Dr. Artis came to this conclusion and how nicotine comes into play for long-haul COVID. So, Dr. Artis, jump right in and either maybe start with Dr. Bartlett's text to you or anywhere you want to start. Any comments on what I've had to say is fine also.
Yeah, I love it. And I think the first thing, based on your initial comments introducing this interview, it truly is my attempt to try to resolve issues that human beings are suffering from. And in my mindset, and for the last 20 years, it has been constantly a question in my mind with every patient I've ever been approached by. It has been, what is creating your suffering, and can I actually remove that from your life, remove it from your body, so your body can restore itself back to normal function, which would be living a symptom-free life. So that's really always the goal for me. I think our Father in Heaven, when he put us down here, he didn't expect and want any of his children truly to suffer physically for their entire life, this one life he was going to grant them on this earth to live. I'm not really sure that would be what any parent would want for any of their children. So I do believe living in mortality, we are exposed to things. We're going to have traumas, emotional upsets. We're going to have poisonings. We're going to have toxicities. But I believe God designed a human body with an immune system that could help it to actually resolve those issues and live as freely as possible a symptom-free life where we could pursue that happiness I believe he wanted us to experience on this earth. And that's really how every interview and every initial exam with every patient ever went for me. How can I help you, if any way, to resolve these issues using the God's design, which was to detox, build the immunity back up, and resolve issues in the body? And that is true for me. That is how I operate. That's how I've been the last 4 years, trying to help solve answers for people, navigate the waters of lies and deception, what is truth, what is not truth. And one of the biggest deceptions I never realized I was going to unearth or be led by God to discover to help resolve issues for a whole lot of people worldwide. I didn't know it was going to come from a text from Dr. Richard Bartlett, but it did in December of 2021, which happened to be 2 to 3 months after our last interview. On December 1st, 2021, I received a text from Dr. Richard Bartlett, an incredible ER doctor out in Odessa, Texas. And he sent me this text that read, "Hey, Doc, if you got bit by a rattlesnake, would you go to a hospital and get anti-venom?" And Dr. Richard Bartlett and I have been on stages every month almost for 3 years. At this point, it was 2 years. And we knew each other pretty well and had great mutual respect for each other. And when he sent this, I remember thinking, what in the world does this have to do with COVID? And I did not reply to this text. I actually just read it. I knew it was some kind of code from Dr. Richard Bartlett to go look up something you don't know, young man, which I was the young man in this text. And I remember reading it going, of course, Dr. Bartlett, I would go to a hospital and get anti-venom. Why are you sending me this question? And I knew he must know something about anti-venom as an ER doctor that I did not know as a retired chiropractor. Chiropractors don't treat snake bites, but I'm sure he has in West Texas treated many rattlesnake bites probably in his career. So there was something about anti-venom I knew he must know that I don't know. So I quickly went online, which I knew he knew I would do, and I would look up what is anti-venom, because I didn't know anything about anti-venom. And I was shocked to find out that 90% of all anti-venom worldwide for snake bites is monoclonal antibodies. And I did not know that. I had no idea that monoclonal antibodies, which at this time when I received this text, Dr. Richard Bartlett had at this point, when he sent me this text, he had had 4 months been running a high-volume intravenous monoclonal antibodies acute COVID therapeutic for people in West Texas. And he'd been doing infusions of monoclonal antibodies to help cure people of their acute COVID symptoms. And so when he had sent this text to me, I was like, wait a minute. There was a reason why he sent me the text, and it was to make me have a different perspective on monoclonal antibodies than what I had presented in a few media interviews. I had actually said in a few interviews I was very concerned about monoclonal antibodies based on several research studies that I had, and I thought at the time ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, vitamin C, zinc, selenium, everything else we've been referencing, budesonide, were alternatives that I believed would be safer without long-term effects. So that was my actual presentations in these interviews. And Dr. Bartlett very quietly and kindly sent me that text to get me to realize that if I, Dr. Brian Artis, was in a life-threatening situation like a rattlesnake bite, I would also trust the medical profession to give me monoclonal antibodies to save my life. I just didn't know, and Dr. Bartlett knew I didn't know, that monoclonal antibodies were a type of anti-venom used for snake bites worldwide. And that I in a very quick moment realized, hey, Dr. Bartlett, you're right. I would trust monoclonal antibodies as a therapeutic that I would turn to help preserve my life in a life-threatening situation similar to one with a snake bite. And that's really what he wanted to get across to me. What Dr. Bartlett did not count on was that the very next, I believe, inspired thought was, wait a minute, if monoclonal antibodies are what they use to treat snake bites or envenomation, venom in a human body, if that's what they use to treat that worldwide, why is it working 100% of the time just about with every acute COVID patient? If monoclonal antibodies treat snake bites, why is it working so well against a bat virus? I thought this came from a bat. And this made me go do something. I immediately got on my computer and typed in these words. What was the origin of COVID? To my shock, in December of 2021, on the first day of December, 2 years into this pandemic, pops up on the screen articles from January of 2020 where even CNN Health is reporting that two snakes are the origin of the Wuhan coronavirus in January of 2020. And the first sentence of the actual article reads, the Chinese king cobra and the Asian crate snake are the origin of COVID. And I remember going, what in the world? All I've been listening to for 2 years is in the narrative an idea that this came from a bat cave or a bat out of Wuhan, China. How did I miss this snake venom reference or snake origin to COVID reference? Because truly from January through April of 2020, it is everywhere in the media that it is proposed that geneticists have determined the origin of COVID was two snakes. And I remember thinking, looking at all these articles going, what in the world? How did I miss this? And then I realized in the very beginning of COVID, February of 2020 is when my father-in-law walked into a hospital that you referenced in our previous interview. That was the first week of February of 2020. And so any early talks about COVID, I wouldn't have been paying attention to. We had a father-in-law that was in a hospital. We had a funeral we had to deal with after he died in that hospital. We had estate issues we had to deal with for months. And then it wasn't until May of 2020 when I came across the remdesivir protocols for hospitalized COVID-19 patients that I really hired a publicist and got involved to try to go save people around the world from this horrific, deadly, toxic protocol using remdesivir to treat COVID patients. And as most of the people know in the audiences, my whole life changed as a result of that. So that was in May of 2020, though, in relationship to COVID, when I really sunk my teeth into what is this COVID narrative and how can we help lives around the world, since I wasn't able to save my father-in-law's life in a hospital a few months earlier. I realized I had missed the first 5 to 6 months of the COVID narrative in early 2020 when all of these documents, publications in the mainstream media, even newscasts, were talking about snakes were the origin of COVID. And what I realized in December of 2021 after reading Dr. Richard Bartlett's text was, why did they shift the narrative from DNA experts figuring out the origin of COVID was two snakes? How did we go from that to this is a bat virus? And so I had to look at these articles, and then you start realizing, Dr. Edwards, starting in January of 2020, each article that came out was being fact-checked by all these sleuthers all over the internet trying to reject this as fact, and they were twisting it back to a narrative that this is a bat virus. Now, what that did, though, is it worked. A lot of people fell for this narrative that this is only has only a relationship to bats, nothing to do with snakes. But I remember asking myself over the next couple of months after reading Dr. Bartlett's text, I was like, what are they doing with monoclonal antibodies, the FDA, the NIH, the CDC? Well, only a couple months later, after realizing there's an origin to COVID that is snake-related, the FDA came out just a couple months later and banned all monoclonal antibodies for all 50 states and our jurisdictions and territories of the United States. And this was another example of a government agency robbing the American public of a safe drug that was effective against acute COVID cases. In fact, I knew it was safe because I had this guy, Dr. Richard Bartlett, telling me he treated 4,000 people in 4 months with 100% success, zero kidney failure, zero multiple organ failure, like was being reported in hospitals. So for me, when they banned that drug, I was like, oh my God, they've already done this and have attacked medical doctors for using other safe drugs. They attacked Richard Bartlett for proposing budesonide. They attacked Simone Gold and others for hydroxychloroquine. They attacked Dr. Pierre Corey, Dr. Paul Merrick for use of ivermectin. It's just been awful to watch them try to destroy these individuals' livelihood, their rights to have access to off-label drugs. I'm a chiropractor, for crying out loud. I don't even want to use those drugs. But I couldn't believe that our government and medical boards and pharmaceutical boards around the country were attacking medical doctors and restricting their rights to use drugs that had been proven since 2005 to treat anything that looks like or is similar to SARS-CoV-1 and now SARS-CoV-2. And that was hydroxychloroquine in 2005. But now all these doctors are losing their license and their jobs. And I just realized, oh my God, what are they doing? This is a mountain of deceit has been vomited on the American public. And this snake venom origin of COVID narrative is a massive one. Now, to review real quickly, this is what I learned after Dr. Richard Bartlett's text that changed my entire life trajectory so far. I didn't know monoclonal antibodies were what they use for anti-venom to treat snake bite victims all over the world and have been for decades. So this opens up my mindset to know why are publications starting in January of 2020 like CNN reporting snakes are the origin of COVID? Then I had to go find the research studies that these journalists were getting that information from to report on. And this is what was discovered by me that other people had already figured out. Geneticists in China. January of 2020, scientists in China took the blood of all the patients in Wuhan, China's hospital who had this new novel COVID-19 pneumonia. And they ran their antibodies and wanted to know, what is their antibodies attacking? And they were looking for, what is the origin of the symptoms? And what they found was the antibodies in 100% of all the patients were actually battling two venoms from two snakes in the bodies of those sick Chinamen. And it was crate snakes and crate snakes, K-R-A-I-T, snakes. And they said snakes are the origin of COVID, particularly one snake, the crate snake. They said that's number one origin with gene testing. It's called a codon usage bias in genetics. They said the codon usage bias for the COVID-19 virus is two snakes, the crate snake and the Chinese cobra. Then they published from their DNA testing in January of 2020 that the third most likely animal origin is bats. But it was never that it was number one. It was the third most likely source. Then in April of 2020, in France, scientists there isolate the spike proteins on COVID's virus, supposedly. So there's these spike proteins that are making this version of coronaviruses more infectious and deadly. And they say there's these two spike proteins on there, and they name them S1 and S2. And they said they isolated these in France in April of 2020 and then ran their DNA sequences. They wanted to know what is their gene sequences of these two spike proteins. And when they published their DNA results, the DNA results were this in April of 2020. The spike proteins of COVID are identical to two snake venom neurotoxins, two little bitty pieces of snake venom from the king cobra and the crate snake. These are called cobra toxin and bungaro toxin. And then they said there's actually some similarities, too, to several parts of the rabies virus's gene sequence also, but not as similar as the two snake venoms. And then they published, this is what I couldn't believe, Dr. Edwards, they published in April of 2020. They said, this answers finally why smokers aren't affected by COVID, because these venoms of these two snakes target just one type of receptor in the body, called alpha 7 nicotine receptors. And for any medical professionals listening, it's actually called alpha 7 nicotinic acetylcholine receptors. And they said these venom proteins cross the blood-brain barrier in every mammal, bind to the alpha 7 nicotine receptors in the brainstem, and paralyze the prey's ability to breathe by paralyzing their diaphragm and their heart's ability to contract. The diaphragm, when it contracts, draws in air in your lungs. The heart, when it beats, it pumps oxygenated blood throughout your body, so your oxygen level will fall with these venom proteins crossing the blood-brain barrier and hitting these nicotine receptors. And the reason why they said, knowing the DNA sequence of what these spike proteins are, this answers why smokers aren't ending up in hospitals dying from COVID. Because nicotine circulating in these smokers' bodies binds to these receptors with a 30 times higher binding affinity than venom and the chemical that's supposed to go between those nerves in your brain called acetylcholine. Nothing binds to it more powerfully than nicotine. And so in a smoker's, they just said, this is why smokers aren't ending up in hospitals, April of 2020. Now, Dr. Edwards, that is almost 4 years ago. Almost 4 years ago, 3.5 years ago. And they still are lying in the media that smokers are the highest risk for getting COVID and ending up in hospitals and dying in the media. And that is not true. We've known since April of 2020 that was just the opposite. Then it was less than 5% of all smokers were getting COVID. Now it's less than 2% worldwide of any smokers have ever ended up in hospitals being treated for COVID. That is the lowest demographic, period. For listeners of this show, the people who are the highest at risk, period, for getting COVID, having a long hauler COVID, getting vaccine injury and dying, all of you who are the main targets are diabetics. In fact, diabetics who get COVID ended up in hospitals, it is 31% of you die. That's the highest demographic of anybody. So anybody who's wanting to stay healthy and protect themselves from future viruses, it should be the diabetics and those overweight. You are the main targets and those at the highest risk, and I'll explain that here in a little bit. So these April 2020 French researchers confirm again what the Chinese researchers found in January of 2020, that the COVID origin of symptoms is two snakes venoms. 2 months later, in June of 2020, Italy researchers, led by Carlo Brogna, B-R-O-G-N-A, in Italy, they decide to go around multiple cities in Italy and PCR test everybody. Those who they PCR test and it comes back negative, they include as the control group people that they PCR tested who had sniffles, fevers, cough. If they were positive, they were included as a group to be tested for this study in Italy. This is June of 2020. And what they decided to do with both groups from multiple cities, those who were sick and tested positive, that was one group of people. The other group were those that tested negative and didn't have any symptoms for COVID. For each group, they took samples of their blood, urine, and feces, and they ran two tests in Italy and a third in Germany on the stool samples, urine samples, and the blood samples. And what they found confirmed with these three types of lab tests, mass spectrometry, liquid chromatography, and ion gas fractioning, they were able to determine that there was not two snake venoms inside of COVID-19 positive patients. They found a total of 36 different animal venom proteins in only the COVID positive group in their blood and in their feces. The negative group, the people they also tested in the same towns that were negative for COVID, they didn't have any single animal venom proteins in their body, not in their blood, not in their urine, and not in their feces. But the COVID-19 positive group had 20 different snake venom proteins in their blood and feces, and they had 16 different venoms from two types of creatures in the ocean. One was a starfish venom called the crown of thorn starfish venom. Ask me if that's ironic, Dr. Ben Edwards, mm-hmm. But the only starfish is the crown of thorn starfish in the middle of this deceptive, evil pandemic full of lies. Mm-hmm. And then there were 15 different cone snail venoms called conotoxins. which are very deadly to humans and cause respiratory paralysis and death. So they found 36 different venoms. The study you are referencing right now in January of 2023, there were researchers who referenced back in 2020 several studies done by people all over the world, and they referenced them in their paper that in January of 2023, they hypothesized that individuals living with long-hauler COVID symptoms of any kind for longer than a year and a half, and there's 21 of them total, these symptoms, they said, let's run a study and see if we can put nicotine patches on long-hauler COVID sufferers for 6 days, and let's see if what the scientists who did research in the first year of the pandemic confirming all these venoms targeting nicotine receptors and the protective nature of nicotine in smokers, let's see if nicotine patch application will resolve some or all of the COVID-19 long-hauler sufferers' symptoms. And this is what they explained to each of these people suffering for a year and a half with all of these 21 different symptoms, and I'll name them here in just a second. But what they found was is that they studied, what they told the study participants was this. They found in a study of 8 million people worldwide during COVID in 2020 that there were 19,000 cases of people with COVID who were smokers, and that was the least demographic of the 8 million people. So smokers were protected for some reason, so they took that, then actually referenced in the study to the participants that the reason why they're going to ask these people to wear nicotine patches is because scientists and geneticists around the world figured out that spike proteins of COVID that make you sick are identical to snake venom neurotoxins from the king cobra and from the crate snake. That's what they referenced in the January 2023 paper. And then they said, this is why we believe a nicotine patch will work, because if we put one on every day, it will allow nicotine over a 24-hour period of wearing the patch to get inside the blood and release these snake venom neurotoxins from the cobra and the crate snake that's in the body of the long hauler sufferer, and we should see if their symptoms resolve. Now, this is outside the study, but I'm going to tell your audiences. The reason why people are having long hauler COVID symptoms for any length of time is because venom, even if someone got bit by a rattlesnake in West Texas or in Lubbock where you are, Dr. Edwards, they get bit by a rattlesnake and you treat them with antivenom, monoclonal antibodies or polyclonal antibodies, you treat them with that and you save their life, that venom that's in their body is reported to stay in the mammal for up to 10 years, creating problems and other symptoms based on where that venom lodges and which organ. If it gets inside your pancreas, you could develop type 1 or type 2 diabetes. If it gets inside of your brain, you'll start developing dementia, memory loss, can't remember names. If that venom moves into your liver, you'll get cirrhosis of the liver, or you'll get diagnosed with hepatitis. If that venom, which isn't killing you now because of the antivenom you received, moves into your ovaries and you're a female, you will develop polycystic ovarian syndrome. If it moves into your uterus, you'll become infertile. If it moves inside your prostate, you'll develop hyperplasia of your prostate, enlargement of your prostate. So this is what happens when you treat people with venom. It is reported all over the world for decades. People will have lingering symptoms of all kinds because of venom in the body not being released from the cells. The thing that is the antidote to release venoms of any kind, the number one antidote is nicotine administration. And in this research study, they gave nicotine patches, 7 milligram nicotine patches, to long-hauler COVID sufferers who had symptoms longer than a year and a half without resolution of any kind, from drugs like ivermectin, budesonide, hydroxychloroquine, steroids, vitamin C, selenium, rehab, to walk again. It didn't matter what it was. Whatever the symptoms are these individuals were struggling with, 100%. And yes, I said that, Dr. Ben Edwards. 100% of all the long-hauler COVID symptoms these individuals struggled with were remitted either immediately or over a length of several days of using nicotine, for 6 days only, is what they did. They asked them to wear a 7 milligram nicotine patch, putting on a new one every day in the morning for 6 days only. within that 6 days of wearing the patches, they saw their symptoms go down, up, down, up, down, up. Then they stopped doing the nicotine patch on day six. And over the several days following even wearing the patches, they're not wearing them now, after stopping, after 6 days, 100% of all their symptoms disappeared, even following wearing the patches, as the circulating nicotine for weeks later provided the benefit to release all of the venomous spike proteins of COVID that led to their symptoms.
Mm. Unbelievable. Let me...
Go ahead,
finish that thought.
Yeah, so this is what has been so incredible to watch, is that any individual living around the world for the last 2 years since my Watch the Water documentary dropped a year and a half ago or so, when that dropped, it has been incredible to have people from around the world tell me to my face, even this weekend in Washington State, they were walking up to me this weekend saying, "You saved my life. I couldn't breathe. I had no taste or smell. I had horrible POTS or vertigo and world spinning when I would stand up after having COVID for a year, 2 years, and all of those symptoms were resolved when I started using nicotine gum or nicotine patches, just like we learned in your Watch the Water documentary and everything I've been doing ever since." But this is a very simple antidote, and I find it incredible that nicotine is found in plants that God created before he put us on this earth. And you mentioned before the show that I'm a very God-fearing man and respecting man, and I am, and I love God. And I believe God put everything on the earth for the benefit of man before he even put us down here. On day six, I believe he saved his greatest creation for last, which was us. Before us, he put the animals. Before us, he put down his plants. Tobacco plants was one of those, with this antidote of nicotine. And that is not the only plant, Dr. Edwards. People have been deceived, I believe, intentionally. But the benefit of a nutrient God put in our plants called nicotine is not only found in tobacco. And for the audiences listening, before you think and worry that nicotine might be addictive, nicotine is not addictive, but we've all been lied to that it is. Harvard in 2015 and 16 published, they tried to see how addictive nicotine was in animals. They couldn't even make an animal addicted to nicotine. They did FOIA requests of the FDA. They found out that in the 70s, when those documents came to them in Harvard, they went through the documents and found out that in the 1970s, our tobacco giants started adding a chemical told to them by chemists that if you add this to your products, it will make your products more addictive to the American people, and they'll buy more of them. And they said if you just add a chemical called pyrazine to the nicotine and the tobacco, it will make tobacco and nicotine finally addictive to your clients and customers. And that's what they added in the 70s to cigarettes and tobacco to make it addictive, a chemical called pyrazine. It is spelled P-Y-R-A-Z-I-N-E-S. Now, they also state, Harvard does, in their paper in 2016, that pyrazine is what creates the dependency on tobacco products, not nicotine. So this is just one thing we've been lied to big time. I mean, how many of us have seen tobacco warnings on, a Surgeon General warnings on every tobacco product everywhere we go? You'll see a warning, Surgeon General, this is addictive and a cancer-causing agent. Well, just so you know, audiences listening, it's neither one of those. Your government has lied to you. In fact, now we're going to educate you. Did you know that the second highest containing nicotine plant on earth, number one is tobacco, has the most nicotine, and God made the tobacco plant. The number two, most containing nicotine plant on earth is the eggplant. The third highest containing nicotine plant on earth is tomato plant. The tomato fruit, red tomatoes have nicotine. Green tomatoes has 10 times more nicotine than red tomatoes do. Every white potato we've ever eaten has nicotine in it. Every cauliflower, every celery you've ever eaten, every nightshade vegetable you've ever put in your mouth has nicotine in them. And now I like to ask audiences, which I do around the world every weekend where I speak, I go just like this, ask everybody to raise their hand and tell me, have they ever heard a coworker ever ask their boss or your manager for a celery or cauliflower break because they need a hit of nicotine? Nope, no one's ever asked for a vegetable break at work. They ask for smoking breaks, but that's because they're addicted to a drug called pyrazine that is added to the tobacco. Mm. No one becomes addicted to nicotine, and I did not know this. This is something I've had to learn in the last 2 years, just another deceitful lie. And Dr. Edwards, we will sum this up here and go on to further discussions. Anybody struggling with any of these symptoms, I'd like to ask. Anybody you know still struggling with, after having a mild case of COVID-19 in the last 4 years, have you still, do you know anybody struggling with loss of taste and smell, vomiting, ringing in their ears called tinnitus, brain fog, motor deficits? Do you know or love anybody who's been diagnosed with a new mood disorder since having COVID? Schizophrenia, bipolarism, manic depression, depression. Do you know anybody struggling with that? If you do, they need to wear a nicotine patch for 6 days. I'm telling you. And it's over the counter. You don't need a prescription. It's super safe. You will not be addictive. It's incredible. This study also, they announced that new onset of diabetes, inability to manage your blood sugar, is a long hauler COVID symptom. It is also a symptom of venom. Also, new onset of high blood pressure diagnosis is another one. Any chest pains, palpitations of the heart, tachycardia, changing your rhythm of your heart and heartbeats. These are long hauler COVID symptoms that can be eradicated with nicotine. And so the 6 days of administration is a phenomenal. This study was phenomenal because 100%, not just some, 100% of all the symptoms disappeared in just days. Now, after all the symptoms disappeared, the researchers decided to wait to publish their study, and they called each of the participants back 6 months later after doing the nicotine patch and wanted to know, did any of your symptoms return? 100% of all of their symptoms were still gone, remitted, had never returned after just 6 days of a nicotine patch. And that is incredible, in my opinion. So you don't have to be afraid of nicotine. I know you think you might be. If you're worried, please look up the Harvard study, 2015. And if you don't want to look it up, go to thedrartistshow.com. There's a tab called Patient Resources. And under Patient Resources is a whole bunch of free documents. Just click the nicotine PDF. When you click that, I lay out for everybody in a one-document format all the research behind the venom aspect of COVID and how to use nicotine, either to prevent future viruses, and I'm not joking, how to use nicotine agents to prevent all future viruses, or number two, how to get rid of your long-hauler COVID symptoms right now, or how to reverse and attempt to start healing from the vaccine injuries. Because inside the vaccines, Dr. Edwards, they did not put the SARS-CoV-2 virus in any of the vaccines. They put what is called the spike protein gene. And this is what the NIH says on all their documents, that they put the spike protein gene in there. Well, what is the spike protein gene? It was found by DNA experts in France, April 2020, to be identical to two snake venoms, neurotoxic venoms, the king cobra and the crate snake. So now when they tell you they're putting that in the shots and injecting you and your loved ones with it, you now know what they're injecting you with. They're injecting you with venom and the instruction for your body to make the venom, and that is called modified RNA or mRNA, which is what they're putting inside these shots. So the nicotine patch, the nicotine concept is a great antidote, and this should actually tell you, you don't know how far these deceptions go and what they know about nicotine. Since my Watch the Water documentary dropped and I put at the end of the documentary, I put antidote is nicotine. Since then, within 1 month, five countries, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, the UK, England, and America, all came out in 1 week and announced a new national health agenda that was going to be in place starting now, which is 2022, through the year 2030. And it is a new health agenda to eradicate all tobacco products to be allowed to be consumed and sold in those respective countries. It will be illegal by the year 2030 to purchase any tobacco products in those countries. And just last month, Joe Biden decides to announce that he's going to be the first president in United States history to lower the allowed amount of nicotine in all tobacco products. Lower it, and then put a cap limit on it. Find that interesting, that they're all going to attack now tobacco and nicotine and reduce supply chain for us to buy the products that has the antidote that God put in these plants. So just remember, when they remove the ability of us to get it from tobacco products, you're either going to grow your own, start buying organic tobacco seed. I'm not joking. Or you're going to have to start growing your own eggplant, organic eggplants, tomatoes, cauliflower, potatoes, nightshade vegetables. They all contain the nicotine that will be an antidote for the future also. And I didn't know this. I had to learn this over the last 2 years. Every single virus that they say is a virus, HIV, rabies, measles, hepatitis A, B, C, influenza, common cold viruses, which is coronaviruses. I didn't know this. I had to confirm it myself. 100% of all viruses target alpha-7 nicotine receptors. So when I just said you could use nicotine to prevent all viruses, you actually can. And you should ask your doctor if nicotine is right for you. And I find it interesting. Did you know that rabies virus is totally negated by nicotine, just like SARS-CoV-2? Did you know that HIV-1, its spike protein, it's got a spike protein too, it's called GP120. Did you know that it also seeks out and binds to alpha-7 nicotine receptors, and nicotine has been proven to block HIV from causing disease in a human? I don't think any medical doctor I've ever heard in the last 20 years, 30 years of my adult life, I've never heard them reference nicotine as a cure for these types of horrific, immune-destroying viruses. But what a massive amount of lie and deceit. And that's what the antidote is all about, is presenting to the world that nicotine, not only, and I really want to say this because of the limited time in the show, during the pandemic, they have taken the 36 different venoms they found in the Italy study. They isolated each of those venoms from crate snakes, king cobras, cone snails, venoms from starfish, and they are injecting them in mammals all around the world. And they are seeing what human diseases they can create in those mammals with those venoms in days. And this is important. I can show the world 4 irreversible human diseases. I can show more than that, but I'm going to mention 4 irreversible human diseases they have been creating in clandestine universities and research labs around the world during this pandemic that we were locked down at home. They're injecting all these venoms inside of these mammals, and they're creating a glioblastoma brain tumor in less than 72 hours in every mammal they inject king cobra venom and cone snail venom inside of. Within 72 hours, they can create a glioblastoma, a brain tumor, in 72 hours or less. Then they inject other mammals with the same venoms, and they're creating a type 1 diabetic in less than 24 hours. The venoms targeting the insulin manufacturing cells in your pancreas. Shutting it off, now you have a type 1 diabetic animal or mammal, and you're a mammal. So now they know they can create a type 1 diabetic. Then number 3, they know they can create a viral myocarditis symptom and heart issue with injecting these venoms into these mammals within 72 hours. And then they know they can create a Parkinson's animal in 72 hours or less with these venoms. And they've also been able to publish, they can create an ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, symptom and disease process in mammals using the same venoms. And in every case, Dr. Edwards, in every single study, they are actually turning around after 72 hours of creating these irreversible human diseases in these mammals that are supposedly irreversible. Then they only administer one thing to these animals within 72 hours after diagnosing the issue. They then administer 3 different doses of one thing, and they want to see, do any of these doses resolve or cure the animal of these diseases? And in 100% of them, they reverse the glioblastoma in less than 72 hours, a brain tumor. It just dissolves itself in 72 hours. They also reverse Parkinson's, they reverse type 1 diabetes, and they're reversing viral myocarditis with this one substance they're injecting into these animals. And 100% of the time, it's nicotine. And they're using 3 different doses of nicotine, and they're finding 2 doses reverse each of these conditions 100% of the time. And those doses are these. Maybe someone out there has someone that's been diagnosed recently after getting a COVID-19 shot with a brain tumor called a glioblastoma. You should tell your neurologist and oncologist. There's a study showing you can reverse these in less than 72 hours by 50%. With just nicotine. And the doses are this for each of those conditions. 0.2 milligrams for every 2.2 pounds of body weight, which is a kilogram. Up to 0.4 milligrams for every 2.2 pounds of body weight. So anybody who's struggling with Parkinson's, MS, ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, type 1 diabetes, brain tumors, I would recommend viral myocarditis. Did you know they gave 72 hours of Dicotine to viral myocarditis animals and reversed all the scarring on their heart with nicotine alone? They only gave them 3 days worth of nicotine, but by day 14, it was 100% reversed. How incredible is that? And how many people are being told you can use nicotine to reverse myocarditis? I don't know anybody that's saying that. I don't know a single cardiologist that's saying that, but it is 100% proven that they can do that. So 0.2 milligrams for every 2.2 pounds of body weight, up to 0.4 milligrams for every 2.2 pounds. So these are just some examples in which they are studying the benefits of nicotine, the same agent they're wanting to keep out of access for us to get, consume, and purchase between now and the year 2030 for five different countries.
Wow, unbelievable. All right, we're up against a break. I just want to summarize real quick. Very brief summary. So January of 2020, we have Chinese researchers looking at the genetics of the spike protein, saying it matches up most closely with some snake venom proteins. And we have April of 2020. Remember, guys, 2020, the very beginning of this whole thing. April of 2020, some French researchers saying the same thing, basically, that the genetics of the spike protein match up most closely to the snake venoms. Then we have June of 2020, Italy, testing positive patients who are also symptomatic and finding 36 different venoms. I don't think Dr. Artis mentioned that the French researchers in April also in that article recommended that we consider treating all these COVID patients with nicotine. See if we could end this pandemic 2 months into this, 3-4 months into this thing. Let's end it. They said, let's try with nicotine. Of course, nobody did. So all this was early 2020. And then this 2023 long-haul COVID study, 100% reversal of long-haul COVID symptoms. We're up against a break. When we come back, we're going to continue on this topic with Dr. Brian Artis. Also, we might get into Marburg and Ebola. And then if we have time, we might get into some other stuff like autoimmune disease and parasites. But we've got to take a quick break. Right now, I'm Dr. Ben Edwards. You're the Cure. You can find this show and all others archived at veritasmedical.com under the resource tab and also on iTunes under the podcast You're the Cure. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
And welcome back into You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out veritasmedical.com for archive shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's veritasmedical.com.
All right, guys, we're back with Dr. Brian Artis. We were talking about the relationship between this spike protein, which, guys, I want to remind you, these proteins we're talking about, just imagine tiny little, like a Lego set or something. A protein is like a key going into a keyhole. You know, your key for your front door, it's got a certain cut to it. And these proteins are just these molecules that have a certain physical shape, but then they fit perfectly like a key into a keyhole into a receptor in the body. And when that connection happens, then signals are transmitted into that cell or into the nucleus or wherever that receptor's at. So that's what we're talking about, these proteins. So this one is called a spike protein. That's just a name for a particular protein. So what these scientists did, they went and isolated the protein, but then did sequencing on it. So these type of genetic tests, these are accepted in the court of law for evidence, to convict criminals at a crime scene. You know, when they pick up DNA at different crime scenes, they run these tests to try to match it up. So that's what we're talking about here. It's basically a fingerprint, but the fingerprint this matched up to, the shape of this protein and genetically the sequence it went with it, were most closely related to these different snake venoms. So that's what we're talking about. And then ivermectin, how does that play in? We didn't mention this, but ivermectin will kick out that snake venom or spike protein, snake venom protein. It'll kick it out of those nicotine receptors. Not as strongly as nicotine does, but it does kick it out also. So that's where the ivermectin can come in. Also, vitamin C inhibits all snake venoms. N-acetylcysteine. So there's, these are some things we were using during COVID. So there's how some of that interplayed. And we saw some benefit from these other things like ivermectin. I want to jump into the Marburg and Ebola. They're similar. Hemorrhagic viruses. There's been some chatter about Marburg in particular. I know Zev Zelenko maybe mentioned it to you, Dr. Artis, early on. There's been some chatter on it recently that it may be the next thing coming. So let's dive into that in the remaining time we have here. Wade, how much time do we have?
I think about 30 minutes or so or whatever.
Okay. All right, Dr. Artis, jump right in. And I don't know how much time you have. Also, feel free to pause whenever you need to pause, but we'll keep going. Comments on ivermectin, anything I just said, and then the Marburg.
April 2020 French study, when they identified cobra toxin and crate snake venom called the bungaro toxin, were identical genetically to the spike proteins of COVID. They also published that this is why nicotine is working in smokers, and then their very next statement was, interestingly, ivermectin has been reported around the world to halt the replication of the SARS-CoV-2 virus and stop the disease progress of COVID-19. And they said, what's interesting about ivermectin, this is April 2020, ivermectin is a positive allosteric modulator of alpha-7 nicotine receptors, just like nicotine, just not as powerful as a binder, or picture magnetism, right, being drawn to those receptors. Nicotine has the biggest draw and affinity to those receptors. Ivermectin is good, just not as potent. But venoms, ivermectin, nicotine all target those same receptors. So very good review there. But that's why ivermectin, they said, was working at that point to save so many lives. And for those, I'll tell you, it was very interesting to watch people taking ivermectin for a whole year trying to get rid of their long-hauler COVID symptoms. Those individuals, when they would chew a 2-milligram nicotine gum, these individuals would have, like, in 30 minutes, their deafness, tinnitus, low blood pressure, their loss of taste and smell, all reverse in like 30 to 40 minutes of doing one piece of gum.
Including your own wife, I believe.
Including my own wife.
Yeah.
You're exactly right. And she had no taste or smell, tinnitus, ringing in her ears, and POTS, which was standing and wanting to fall when her blood pressure would drop really quickly. She had these issues for 6 months. But the 2 years lingering of no taste or smell and horrible ringing in her ears, all of it was gone within 3 days of chewing nicotine gum. 100% of those symptoms, all gone.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting to watch this occur for people around the world that are struggling with these symptoms.
And the antidote, you talked about a doctor in Australia, I think, had hearing loss, or was it tinnitus, but resolved in 15, 30, 45 minutes or something.
Within 45 minutes, a medical doctor in Australia, she had actually lost 100% of her hearing in one of her ears. And that was actually confirmed by medical doctors and hearing specialists. They told her she had permanent 100% hearing loss for the rest of her life from having acute COVID 2 years earlier.
Wow.
When she saw Watch the Water documentary, she chewed nicotine gum the next day, went and bought it. And within 30 minutes, she said 30 minutes into chewing it, she felt this wind move through her ear. And then 15 minutes later, 100% of her hearing was restored. And then she's gone back to her MDs who diagnosed her with permanent hearing loss, and she has 100% of all of her hearing back after chewing nicotine gum for one day. So actually, just for 30 to 45 minutes. So these are some of the miracles I've heard reported back to me. It's very humbling and very exciting to see people's lives change when being able to apply something and understanding the why before you even recommending it. And then when you see the actual results, you're like, oh, my gosh, this is phenomenal. It's been very, very rewarding.
Yeah.
And one of the things that are birthed out of this is, how far are we going to go with the use of venoms worldwide? Like, how far are they going to go synthetically manufacturing these little venom proteins, and either through gain-of-function lab testing or creation, or just using symptoms all over the world? By the way, this is a massive billion-dollar industry, manufacturing little bitty pieces of venom protein and turning them into drugs, vaccines, or pandemics. This is not a joke what they're doing. They're for sure doing this. So how far are they going to take this? Zev Zelenko called me a month before he died last year, and he said, Dr. Artis, will you please make sure the world knows that there's an antidote to the Marburg virus? It's going to come out of China. It's going to be the next one. But if I die, Dr. Artis, from his lung cancer he'd been diagnosed with a few years earlier, if I die before this Marburg pandemic starts, please make sure the world knows that there's an antidote to it. And then he told me what it was, and then I said to him, well, Zev, if something happens to you, I promise I'll tell the world. Don't worry. I'll make sure they know. I said, but Zev, do you know what Marburg virus is identical to and what it's manufactured from? This is not a joke. You know what it's made from? And he goes, you know what it's made from? And I said, I do. This is last year. I said, it's actually made from the synthetic venom of a boom slang snake. And this is also a snake out of Southeast Asia. And it is extremely deadly, and it causes massive amounts of hemorrhaging internally, where hemorrhaging means your body's going to first create a whole bunch of little bitty micro blood clots, and then you're going to start bleeding out of all your orifices. You're going to bleed out of all your blood vessels. You're going to bleed out of your nose, out of your eyes, out of your ears, out of your mouth, out of your anus, out of your genitalia. You're just going to start bleeding out of your body, and you're going to die. That's what they call the Marburg virus. If you want to know what it's supposed to look like when it happens, go watch the movie that came out a month after Zev Zelenko died called The Bullet Train. And Hollywood shows you what the Marburg virus pandemic is going to be and what it's going to look like and what it's made from. In fact, in that movie, where they show the scenes of hemorrhaging and whole scenes of the movie, people are vomiting blood, blood pouring out of their eyes, and they're all dying. They actually show multiple times and name it that on the train, the bullet train with Brad Pitt and Sandra Bullock, there is a boom slaying snake on the train. But it doesn't have a part in the movie. They just continue to talk about the boom slaying snake. And then the villain at the end opens up her trench coat, pulls out a syringe, and says, it's got boom slaying snake venom in it. And then they inject Brad Pitt with it. And Brad Pitt says this, good thing I took anti-venom this morning. And then pulls it out and stabs the other lady. Now, boom slaying snake happens to be, they used boom slaying snake venom in this. The antidote would have been monoclonal antibodies that Brad Pitt was referencing. Good thing I took anti-venom this morning. But one thing very important, they're projecting their narratives to the world through what they call Operation Mockingbird. They use Hollywood to project what they're going to do on the world. They did this with COVID and told the whole world they're going to use crate snake venom to make you sick in a show they released on NBC in February of 2017, and it's called Blacklist, Season 4, Episode 15. They actually show you how people drank the snake venom from the crate snake venom, broke out in respiratory failure. The main character even calls his symptoms Corona of Death in 2017. And the FBI shows the whole world that his symptoms were created, respiratory failure was created by him being poisoned with crate snake venom in his drink, and he drank it, just like I proposed in the Watch the Water documentary. The bullet train comes out a month after Zev dies. A month before Zev dies, I tell him it's boom slaying snake venom is what Marburg virus is going to be, and I actually told him, I want you to print out what are the side effects of boom slaying snake venom, and then I want you to go print out Marburg virus symptoms and lay them over top of each other. They're identical, and they are. And there's currently 20 different manufacturing facilities in China right now that have been synthetically manufacturing powder form of boom slaying snake venom for over 20 years. And where is this Marburg virus going to come from? China. What is Marburg? A city in Germany. Why are they calling a virus out of China named after something in Germany? Kind of weird, but anyway, I just want the world to know something. When the Marburg virus comes out, they've already published that Marburg and Ebola target the exact same receptors in the body. And if I get it wrong, I'm sorry, but it was abbreviated like TPC2 or TCP2 is the receptor. Whatever that's abbreviated for, I didn't even look it up. Because what they found was that if these receptors don't allow the venom spike protein of Marburg or Ebola to go inside the cell or attach to the cell, all they have to use is a TPC2 receptor inhibitor. And those inhibitors are found in grapefruit juice and in tomatoes. Isn't that interesting? You mentioned earlier that vitamin C worked against COVID. Vitamin C is an antidote to snake venom. It is. It has been forever. Vitamin C works and is an inhibitory and a blocker of venom's toxicity. So vitamin C is found in grapefruit. Vitamin C is also found in lemons and tangerines. And ask me if it's ironic that Brad Pitt's co-actors in the movie Bullet Train went by these names. It's a black guy and a white guy. Goes by the names Lemon and Tangerine. That's their nicknames. And as soon as they introduced themselves in the movie, I was like, oh my God, they're even telling you the antidote to this venomous Marburg virus thing. So, anyway, vitamin C will work. Grapefruit and tomatoes, by the way, have the ultimate antidote, which include nicotine in the tomatoes and then a substance in citrus fruits called Nigarinin. N-E-G-A-R, N-I-N, Nagarinin. And this is proven to block and inhibit all Marburg virus and Ebola virus symptoms and toxicity. So there's absolutely solutions in nature also as a cure. Isn't that phenomenal?
Yep. Also, interesting side note, the Nobel Prize was just awarded to a couple of scientists out of Pennsylvania for their work on the mRNA vaccine, we'll call it. And didn't one of those movies mention Scranton, Pennsylvania and China as...
Yes, very good. You've actually paid really good attention to these things I've been presenting. But so Dr. Cataline Carrico and Drew Wiseman at the University of Pennsylvania just won the Nobel Prize for creating the mRNA vaccine. No one even heard of these names until my Watch the Water documentary when I showed the whole world that Drew Wiseman and Cataline Carrico are the inventors for the mRNA technology. And the reason why I put this in the Watch the Water documentary is inside of each of their studies since 2009, they have been funded by the NIH, Anthony Fauci's department specifically, the NIAID department. They have been funded by Anthony Fauci's department to create mRNA gene therapy shots since 2009. And in every single study from 2009 to 2011, 2012 till now, and they just won a Nobel Prize for this, it states in every research study that they use snake venom phosphodiesterase, a component of snake venom, to cleave or cut the RNA or DNA of a human that they are doing the mRNA gene therapy inside of. So they put these venom components in the shots to cut your RNA to insert your mRNA of choice that they're injecting inside of you. Snake venom phosphodiesterase. This substance they use and put in every paper since 2009 to create these Nobel Prize winning shots that have hurt so many people. The words snake venom phosphodiesterase is in every paper. Snake venom phosphodiesterase, these professionals at the University of Pennsylvania, they have to buy that venom from somebody, and they manufacture for this snake venom phosphodiesterase for all gene researchers is Innovative Research and a company called Thermo Fisher Scientific. And this company, Thermo Fisher Scientific, people need to pay attention to. This company is responsible for the magnets that were put inside the shots. They're responsible for the snake venom phosphodiesterase in these shots that causes multiple organ failure. That's what snake venom phosphodiesterase does. On their websites where they sell snake venom phosphodiesterase to researchers, they make this statement in every single product page. When you buy this snake venom component, researchers, you cannot mix it with any of these four things. You can't mix it with glutathione, like you mentioned earlier, vitamin C, NAC, or EDTA. In fact, in every statement, they say it's completely destroyed by EDTA. And in the Blacklist TV show, season 4, episode 15, the FBI agents, the director actually looks at the FBI agent and goes, where would Robert Reddington, the main character in the show, get crate snake venom put in his drink? And the FBI agent goes, there's only two places that have this venom. A serpentarium, a place where they collect serpents and study them, in China and in Scranton, Pennsylvania. I was like, oh my God, they even told us in the movie, in this TV show, where the snake venom source is going to come from. And this is very interesting, world and audiences. The University of Pennsylvania is where the snake venom phosphodiesterase-laced COVID-19 mRNA shots were designed. This is where the Nobel Prize is going and where all the royalties are going, are to these two scientists. That snake venom, goes to snake venom phosphodiesterase, comes out of the University of Pennsylvania into this Operation Warp Speed that Donald Trump signed into law to get all these companies to design this new manufactured mRNA vaccine for COVID. Operation Warp Speed's money went to Drew Wiseman and Cataline Carrico at the University of Pennsylvania. Guess where Donald Trump is an alumni from? The University of Pennsylvania. It's an amazing circle of networking connections to all the major players inside of this entire narrative of COVID. But everyone needs to be warned. There's a snake venom phosphodiesterase is used in all gene therapy and another substance from snake venoms called RNases. There are inhibitors and safe things in nature that are safe and effective at actually neutralizing, detoxifying venoms out of the body. For those of you who received the COVID-19 vaccines, you have snake venom phosphodiesterase or RNase inside of you. All of those are from snake venom. At a minimum, you should be putting into your body every day glutathione, NAC, vitamin C, and I would 100% of the time tell you you need to be on some EDTA to detox out the venoms and neutralize it. 100% EDTA inhibits that. And this is important for the Marburg virus and Ebola scenario that may be coming. I just learned this a couple weeks ago, and it's exciting to share this on the show. Dr. Edwards, have you ever heard of the Flexner Report from 1910?
I've quoted it many times on this show.
Okay, so the Flexner Report, Rockefellers, Carnegies, they pay this guy, Abraham Flexner, to go look at all the medical institutions, medical schools in the United States and Canada, and come up with a plan for how the Rockefellers and the Carnegies are going to literally monopolize and take over the medical industry and all the education in them. That's what the Flexner Report is from 1910. Do you know that I just found something the other day, Dr. Edwards, about Abraham Flexner? You know he had a brother named Simon Flexner? And do you know that 8 years prior to the Flexner Report coming out, that Simon Flexner at the Johns Hopkins University was being paid to do studies on the hemorrhagic aspect of snake venom in humans? Did you know that? Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
But the Flexners could be that involved back to 1902. I have found his research studies looking at what is the component in snake venom that causes hemorrhaging, bleeding to death. And in 1902, he published the one thing that destroys the hemorrhaging venom in a human. The only thing that stops it 100% of the time is something called EDTA. He figured that out in 1902. And then do you know what he says? And this is only for your audiences. Now go tell your friends and your loved ones. He said, EDTA will destroy the hemorrhagic effects of venom. However, these venoms also require something to make it cause hemorrhaging and bleeding out in its victim. That snake venom component requires zinc to be toxic and cause the hemorrhaging. And this has not only been published in 1902, it was repeated again in 1938. They figured out that the hemorrhaging, bleeding out of our orifices after being envenomated, having it venom introduced into your body by snake, sting, vaccine, it doesn't matter. If it gets introduced into your body, zinc will make that venom more toxic, the venoms that cause bleeding. So if we start seeing an outbreak of Marburg Ebola, bleeding out, seeing stories of people not only just falling over in China as they're walking down the street, if you see blood coming out of their bodies, you've got to get them off of zinc and get them immediately on something called EDTA. And that will be a totally different narrative than what you've experienced with COVID-19. And something Zev Zelenko actually told me I should tell the world would be the antidote would be zinc again. And I told him, I said, well, I promise you, I will do the research, I'll look into it. I said, but I will make sure they know if that's the truth. I'll make sure they know it. For now, everybody should be very leery if there becomes an announcement that there is this new Marburg virus or Ebola virus going around the world. It's going to be very important that you restrict at that point your zinc intake until that blows over, because we're going to be introduced to venoms that they have been studying since 1902 require zinc to cause the hemorrhaging. So not everything we've accepted in life apply to everything we're going to be exposed to in life. Did zinc help with SARS-CoV-2 and COVID-19? Yes. Is it going to help with a hemorrhaging effect or hemorrhagic pandemic? No. But this is going to be a totally different symptom than what we experience now, and there should be something totally different creating that scenario. So we just need to be ready for that too, which will be exciting.
Yep.
I'm ready. It'll be very fun.
Okay. Well, what an amazing show. You know, that Darwinian evolutionary biological mindset that so many scientists and doctors are under. Malthusianism, that's a theory that the population growth is going to be so exponential, we're going to run out of resources, so therefore we'd have to reduce population. I mean, these people can be under the influence of a thought process that will lead them to do things that sound crazy to us. But again, get in the Word. This is the time to be in the Word. The Prince of Peace can not only lead you into all truth, but will comfort you, guide you, and bring you peace. We know these last days, the book tells us, one world government. I'm not fighting it because the book says it's coming, and I'm not saying not to do your part to wake people up and to do what you're supposed to do and ultimately love on people and let Jesus shine through you, and he can't shine through you if you're scared to death. So deal with that fear, number one, and know that God's never going to leave you or forsake you. And number two, we don't love our life even unto death, meaning this world, this physical world's not, that's not what we love. That's not what we're focusing, idolizing on. But while we are here, we're going to finish our assignment and do it in love and peace. So Dr. Artis, thank you for fulfilling your assignment while you're here in the earth. Appreciate you and the millions of lives that you're touching. Appreciate you being on the show today.
We're all doing our best, and I'm proud of you for doing the show and trying to convey truth, honesty, and faith where it belongs. So it's super important that we actually stay grounded spiritually, have faith in your Creator. He knows all things. He's omniscient and all-powerful. And I believe he created the human body to even, isn't it incredible? Billions of dollars have been spent for decades to create a biological weapon they called COVID-19, and 99% of all of God's creation survived it. Mm. Isn't that amazing?
It is.
I think
we're
it's
resilient.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, it is. That's a good point.
Yeah.
All right,
no
everybody.
Need to be fearful.
That's right. Fear is not allowed in this show. Dr. Brian Artis, his documentary, Watch the Water, you can go find that just about anywhere. The recent documentary we've been referencing called The Antidote, that was with Jason Shurka, S-H-U-R-K-A. So you can just look that up, Jason Shurka and Dr. Brian Artis, The Antidote, and there's a deeper dive on there. And we will archive this show at veritasmedical.com on the resource tab under the podcast archive page, and also on iTunes under You're the Cure. So y'all send this to your family and friends with a note of love and encouragement, not out of fear. All right, we got to end it here. We're out of time. Thanks again, Dr. Artis. We'll look forward to having you back someday.
Look forward to it. God bless you and your audiences.
Great. All right.
And you've been listening to You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out veritasmedical.com for archive shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's veritasmedical.com.